You're listening to SBS News.
From aged care residents to healthcare workers and security guards, Australians of varying ages, ethnicities and stages of life are about to get inoculated against COVID-19. No doubt many still have questions surrounding the vaccine and how it will affect them and their life. One of the biggest questions relates to pregnant women and whether it's safe for them. The latest advice from the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, or ATAGI, on the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is that it does not routinely recommend COVID-19 vaccine in pregnancy. This means if you have no risk factors for severe COVID-19 or are not at high risk of exposure to the virus, you may prefer to wait until after your pregnancy to get vaccinated. Professor Julie Leask from the University of Sydney, who specialises in vaccine acceptance, says this recommendation is no cause for concern.
There's no reason to theoretically believe that this particular vaccine would harm the pregnant woman or her baby, but I think they just want to be ultra cautious at the moment until they get more information in.
That's the reason pregnant women have not been included in any of the major clinical trials of any of Australia's vaccine candidates, and so data on this group is scarce. However, there have been several women who didn't know they were pregnant or became pregnant during the trials in the United States and the United Kingdom. So far, there have been no reports of adverse outcomes for them. Professor Leask says she expects the advice for pregnant women will change over time when more data is assessed.
Whilst the recommendation at the moment is that pregnant women are not routinely recommended to have the COVID-19 vaccine yet, more data could come in the future and that recommendation might change.
Professor Leask says recent data shows women in their 20s and 30s are among the most likely to be feeling hesitant when it comes to the vaccine.
Some of the research is showing that there's a little bit more hesitancy among females of childbearing age, and we suspect that is probably because some of them will be pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant or breastfeeding, and they're just wanting to be absolutely sure that the vaccine is going to be safe for them and their babies.
And according to ATAGI's advice, it absolutely is. It says the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine will not affect a woman's ability to become pregnant. Similarly, breastfeeding mothers are also encouraged to get the vaccine. The advice is you do not need to stop breastfeeding before or after vaccination. Which brings us to our next question. If I have bad allergies, can I get the vaccine? ATAGI suggests the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine can be administered safely to people with allergies to food, insect stings and medicines. The only people advised against receiving it are those who develop anaphylaxis after the previous dose or have a history of anaphylaxis to a component of the vaccine called polyethylene glycol. Professor Gary Groman is a virologist who has worked closely with the World Health Organization and is a member of the Australian Immunisation Coalition. He says allergic reactions to any of the COVID-19 vaccines are incredibly rare.
The rate is extremely low, which is fortunate, about 11 people per million. Nevertheless, it sends up a flag that anybody with allergy needs to talk to their doctor, and those administering the vaccine clearly need to be observing the vaccinee for 15 to 30 minutes.
He says anyone with a history of anaphylaxis or has an EpiPen should be observed for the full 30 minutes following their injection rather than the prescribed 15 minutes just to be safe. But what if I'm immunocompromised or have a medical condition? Is the vaccine safe for me? The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is recommended for people who are immunocompromised, especially given their increased risk of severe illness if they contract the virus. ATAGI does say, however, there is currently no data on the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine in this population because they also have not been included in clinical trials. Professor Groman says immunocompromised people should talk to their doctors about any concerns they might have.
While the data set is incomplete, it probably is still worth it from a risk assessment to get the vaccine, but always go through your GP or health professional.
However, Professor Grohman also notes the vaccine may be less effective and protective in this group because of their reduced immune response.
So the efficacy for those that are immunocompromised will likely be lower, as well as the effectiveness be slightly lower. However, that doesn't mean they're not protected against major secondary endpoints to do with severity, such as hospitalisation or getting into ICU or even death.
And what about all the speculation over whether the vaccine is safe for those who are elderly and particularly frail? Ataghi has not released specific advice relating to frail elderly people and instead advises each individually should be carefully assessed on a case-by-case basis.
If somebody is particularly frail, then maybe giving them a vaccine isn't a good idea. So that, therefore, Ataghi and others have advised that it should be on a case-by-case basis. Everyone is raising the flag of caution and saying, well, let's be careful with the older person. Doctors, people who care for them, know their full medical history, and they will be in the best position to advise whether they should be vaccinated or not.
And finally, will the vaccine interfere with my other usual annual health appointments, like the flu vaccine or giving blood? Ataghi recommends people should wait 14 days after both the Pfizer-BioNTech and the AstraZeneca vaccine before receiving the flu jab. It says co-administration of two vaccines can sometimes lead to a higher frequency of mild to moderate adverse effects, so it's safer to wait. Professor Grohman agrees.
It takes about 2 weeks for the first antibody responses, cellular responses to peak for a coronavirus vaccine. So once that's happened, then you could take a flu vaccine with some safety and it should be fine. So the 2 week gap is precautionary and I think quite sensible.
As for giving blood, Australian Red Cross Lifeblood is asking donors to wait 7 days from the time they receive their vaccine before they donate, and any time after that is fine. Professor Grohman says this is most likely to make sure the person isn't experiencing any side effects.
If the vaccinee, the person receiving the vaccine, is going to have any sort of reaction, that's going to come up within the first few days to a week, more than likely. The vast majority will come up during that time. And I think for that reason, there should be a space between donating blood or getting the vaccine and then donating blood.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Amelia Dunn, SBS News.